بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until the Yawm al-Qiyamah. We come to the next hadith, which is hadith number 194 from Kitab al-Siyam, from the compilation Umdatul Ahkam. And in the previous lesson, the previous three ahadith we covered, in one of those ahadith, the best prayer, meaning the best nafl prayer, and the best voluntary fasting was mentioned, and it was the fasting and the prayer of Dawood alayhi salam. Can you remember what it was? So the fasting of Dawood alayhi salam is to fast one day and not fast the other day, and the prayer? Sleep half of the night and then pray a third of it and then sleep for the sixth, and then of course wake up for Fajr after that. So in this lesson we come to the next hadith, which is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال أوصاني خليلي صلى الله عليه وسلم بثلاث: صيام ثلاثة أيام من كل شهر، وركعتي الضحى، وأن أوتر قبل أن أنام. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates, or rather أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه says, أوصاني خليلي, my خليل, he admonished me and he advised me with three things. صِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ مِنْ كُلِّ شَهْرٍ, the fasting of 3 days from every month. وَرَكْعَتَيْ الضُّحَى, and the two rak'at of الضُّحَى. وَأَنْ أُوْتِرَ قَبْلَ أَنْ أَنَامٍ, and that I should pray the witr before I sleep. This hadith, it contains the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So these three things which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised, they were directed at Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says, أوصاني خليلي, my خليل, he admonished and advised me. And the meaning of خليل is a beloved, close friend with the highest level of love. So love, it is three levels. First is mahabba, and then higher than this is wud, and then higher than this is al-khulla. And khulla, this is the greatest form of love and affection. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never called anybody else his khalil. In fact, in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, قَدْ اتَّخَذِنِي اللَّهُ خَلِيلًا كَمَا اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا, that Allah has taken me as his khalil, as his most beloved, just as he took Ibrahim alayhi salam as his most beloved. He said, لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا لَأَخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا, if I was to have a khalil, meaning the most beloved, closest friend, then it would be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then he said, there is no more khulla, but there is ukhuwa, there is brotherhood, there is brotherhood of al-Iman. But from the angle of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, then he is affirming his love and his affection for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he advised him with three things. The first is to fast 3 months, to fast 3 days of every month. And these can be any three continuous days of any month. And it is recommended for them to be the 3 days of the full moon. And these are called Ayyam al-Bidh. And they are the 13th, 14th and 15th of the lunar Islamic month. And Ayyam al-Bidh, the days of the full moon, they have been mentioned in other hadith, like the hadith of Qatada radiallahu anhu, who said, كَانَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَأْمُرُنَا أَن نَصُومَ أَيَّامَ الْبِيضِ. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to order us, meaning he used to encourage us to fast the days of the full moon, 13th, 14th, 15th. The second advice which is contained in this is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he advised Abu Huraira to pray the two raka'at of Ad-Duha. And Ad-Duha, this is one of the Nawafil prayers, and its time is, as the ulama say, irtifa' al-shams qadr ruh. It is when the sun has clearly risen above the horizon to the height of a spear. So when the sun has clearly risen above the horizon, so much so that there's almost like the height of a spear from what you can see, then this is now the time of Ad-Duha. And it extends before Dhuhr. And Ad-Duha prayer, it is Nafal. It can be prayed 2 raka'at or 4 raka'at or 8 raka'at. And sometimes Ad-Duha, it is called Salatul Awwabin. So it has two names, Salatul Duha or Salatul Awwabin. If it is prayed 8 raka'at, then it is called Salatul Awwabin. And this is something which was recommended, especially for those people who aren't going to wake up for the night prayer, that if they don't wake up for the night prayer, or they can't wake up for the night prayer, then instead they pray 2, 4 or 8 raka'at of Ad-Duha or Salatul Awwabin. If it is prayed in the masjid, then we call it Ishraq or Shuruq. And this is 2 raka'at if it's in the masjid. If it's at home, then it can be prayed up to 8 raka'at and it becomes Ad-Duha. So Ad-Duha and Ishraq, the timing is exactly the same. After sunrise, after the sun is above the horizon to the height of a spear. In the masjid we call it Shuruq or Ishraq and it is 2 raka'at. And in the home, it is called Ad-Duha and it can be prayed up to 8 raka'ah. And then the third thing which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him with is to pray the witr before he sleeps. The asl with the witr is that it is prayed before Fajr. So a person prays Isha, and then even if a person isn't going to perform Qiyam al-Layl, wakes up 10 minutes before Fajr, prays the witr, and then Fajr comes. This is the asl. But if somebody fears that he's not going to wake up in time to pray the witr, or he's going to forget to wake up early, or he's going to be too tired, then he can pray after Isha immediately before he goes to sleep. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he specifically advised this to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, because it is known that he would remain awake in learning and seeking knowledge and memorizing a hadith, and therefore perhaps he would not be able to wake up for the witr prayer. And therefore the Prophet advised him to pray the witr before he goes to sleep. So this hadith, it contains 3 great actions which are all nafal. The first of these actions is fasting 3 days in the month, preferably 13th, 14th, 15th. And some of the ulama have mentioned how this also contains various health benefits, especially those days, because it is the full moon and they say the gravitational pull is stronger, and that's why it has an effect on the tides as well. And for this reason, hijama is recommended on those days, and also fasting, wallahu a'lam. And the secret behind fasting 3 days, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specify to them 3 days? Because the minimum any fast is multiplied is 10 times. So if a person was to fast 3 days, and each fast is multiplied 10 times, then it's as if he has fasted 30 days every single month, meaning the whole month. And if you do that every single month, it is as if you're fasting Sawmud Dahr. You're fasting all of your life, because for those 3 days, you're getting the reward of the whole month. And then if you do that every month, then you have fasted your whole life. And the second nafal action was, the second encouraged action was the 2 raka'at of al-duha. And then thirdly, to pray witr before a person goes to sleep. And this is only if a person fears that he's not going to wake up. Otherwise, that which is more recommended is to delay the witr prayer up until after you've slept and you've woken up. You wake up slightly earlier for fajr, you pray your 3 raka'at or more, or one, and then you pray the fajr prayer. After this, we come to the next hadith, and it is the hadith of Muhammad ibn Abbad ibn Ja'far. قال سألت جابر ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنهما أن نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن صوم يوم الجمعة قال نعم وزاد مسلم ورب الكعبة. Muhammad ibn Abbad ibn Ja'far, he narrates, he says, I asked Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbid the fasting of Friday? He replied, yes. And in the narration of Sahih Muslim, wa rabbil Kaaba, meaning he took an oath by the Lord of the Kaaba, he said, yes, by the Lord of the Kaaba. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade fasting Friday, or specifying Friday for fasting, or fasting Friday alone without fasting something before it or fasting something after it. And this is because, as it is known amongst the Muslims, just as we have the Eid of the year, and there are two, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, we also have the Eid of the week. And the Eid of the week for the Muslims is Friday, because we congregate and we come together and we come to the masjid and there's a special prayer and so on and so forth. And because it has been likened to being an Eid of the week, therefore it is not preferred to fast on this day. And also, so people don't think that Friday should be specified for a fast. And the exception to this is, if a person wants to fast on a Friday, nafl fast, he joins it by fasting something on Thursday, so Thursday and Friday, or Friday and Saturday. But he shouldn't specify Friday alone for fasting. And also, if one of the other fasts, like Yom Ashura, Yom Arafah, falls on a Friday, then it can be fasted. And then after this, we come to the next hadith, which is also the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qal sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul la yasumanna ahadukum yawm al-jum'ati illa an yasuma yawman qablahu aw yawman ba'dahu. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu says, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, nobody amongst you should fast the Friday unless you join it with a day before or a day after. And this clarifies the previous hadith, that a person should not fast Friday alone. A person shouldn't specify Friday for a nafal fast. And if a person wants to fast a nafal fast on Friday, then he joins it by doing Thursday and Friday, or Friday and Saturday. So people don't think that there is a special fast which is held on a Friday. After this, we come to the next hadith. An Abi Ubaid, Mawla ibn Azhar, wasmuhu Sa'd ibn Ubaid, qal, shahidtu al-eid ma'a Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiyallahu anhu, faqal, hadhani yawmani naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an siyamihima, yawma fitrikum min siyamikum, واليوم الآخر الذي تأكلون فيه من نسككم. And this hadith is upon the authority of Abu Ubaid, the freed slave of Ibn Azhar, and his name is Sa'd ibn Ubaid. He said, I was present for the Eid, meaning the Eid prayer and the Eid khutbah, with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu said that these 2 days are 2 days in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade from fasting. يَوْمُ فِطْرِكُمْ مِنْ صِيَامِكُمْ, the day in which you break your fast, meaning Eid al-Fitr. Because we've been fasting the whole month of Ramadan every single day, and now we have broken this routine of fasting by Eid al-Fitr. And the second day, وَالْيَوْمُ الْآخِرِ, the other day, الَّذِي تَأْكُلُونَ فِيهِ مِنْ نُسَكِكُمْ, it is Eid al-Adha, in which you eat from your slaughtered animals. So in this hadith, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was leading the people in the Eid prayer. And he was giving the sermon. And Sa'd ibn Ubaid, he says, I was there at that sermon, at that Eid prayer. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, these 2 days, meaning Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade fasting on them. Meaning it is haram, it is not allowed for a person to fast on the 2 days of Eid. And neither is it accepted from a person if he was to fast on those days. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, he gave the reasons. As for Eid al-Fitr, then it is the day in which you break your fast. Meaning you have broken your month of fasting. And therefore you cannot fast on that day. And then the second day is the day in which you slaughter the adhiya, the sacrificial animal, and you are meant to eat from that meat and also distribute it to relatives, families and friends. So what do we benefit from this hadith? That it is not permitted for a person to fast on the 2 days of Eid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding Ayyam al-Tashriq, which fall on Eid al-Adha, he said that they are ayyamu aklin wa shurbin wa dhikrillah. They are days of eating and drinking and making remembrance and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason, a person does not fast on these days. And if a person did fast on these days, then it is not accepted from him. In fact, he is sinning for fasting on these days. And the wisdom behind this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has distinguished between days of fasting and days of not fasting. So in order to complete this distinguishment between both of them, then we don't fast on those days. The same reason why before Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an sawmi yawmin aw yawmayni. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade fasting 1 or 2 days before Ramadan. So the last day of Sha'ban, or the last 2 days of Sha'ban, a person should not fast. Why? To distinguish between the other days and the days of Ramadan. Also from the benefits of this hadith is that the khatib, when he gives the khutbah, then from the characteristics of an intelligent khatib is he focuses on the days or that which is relevant to the days. So for example, if it is Muharram, then the khatib, the person who gives the khutbah, he focuses on the virtues of Muharram. And when Ramadan comes, then Ramadan. Because Umar radiallahu anhu, because it was the day of Eid, he mentioned the ruling of fasting on the day of Eid. So when a person is giving a khutbah, he focuses on the ritual or the act of worship of those days, and also anything which is affecting the Muslims. And then we come to the next hadith, and it is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu qal, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an sawmi yawmain, an-nahri wal-fitr, wa an ishtimali s-summa' وأن يحتبي الرجل في الثوب الواحد وعن الصلاة بعد الصبح والعصر. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه said, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he forbade fasting 2 days, the day of النحر meaning Eid al-Adha, and the day of al-Fitr meaning Eid al-Fitr.
And he forbade two types of clothing, ishtimal al-samma and al-ihtiba. And I'll explain what each term is. And he forbade from two types of prayers, the prayer after the Fajr and the prayer after Asr. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade fasting 2 days, he forbade two types of clothing, and he forbade two types of prayers. All of these have been forbidden. 2 days of fasting, and two types of clothing, and two types of prayer. So as for the 2 days of fasting which are forbidden, then it is for a person to fast on An-Nahr, meaning Eid al-Adha, or Al-Fitr, i.e. Eid al-Fitr, for the reasons we have mentioned. As for the two types of clothing which are forbidden, then the first of them is As-Samma. And the meaning of As-Samma is a person wrapping himself in a single garment in which there's no holes for arms or legs, anything like that. So a person, he wraps himself in a single garment and then he's not wearing anything underneath. As an example, if a person didn't wear any other clothing and then wrapped himself in a blanket or a duvet, should he be praying in that or not? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade it. And then the second type is al-ihtiba. And the meaning of al-ihtiba is for a person to sit, and we often do this in the masjid, whereby you're sitting on your back and you have your knees propped up and you have your hands around your knees. And we often do this type of sitting. This type of sitting in Jum'ah, it is something which is disliked. And it has been narrated by some of the Sahaba, if I remember correctly, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Why? Because they say it is something which induces sleep. Because it's a relaxing position, sitting like this, it induces sleep. So in Jum'ah, it is something which is disliked. In this hadith, it is a person to sit like this, but he's only wearing one garment of clothing. So he isn't wearing anything underneath. And the reason why both of these types of sitting and clothing were forbidden is because perhaps the awrah of a person will become uncovered. You're either wrapping yourself in a single piece of cloth which has no type of shape by which you can take your hands out or hold it together, or you're only wearing one garment with nothing underneath, and then you're sitting in this sitting in which your knees are propped up and your legs are crossed. And in both cases, perhaps the awrah of a person may be shown. For this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade it. And then the two prayers which were forbidden is praying nafal prayer, meaning nafal mutlaq, just a general nafal. If somebody wanted to pray for no specific reason, for the sake of Allah, you just want to pray two nafal, then the prohibited times are after Fajr, meaning when the sun is rising, and also after Al-Asr. And the reason for this is because this was a time in which the mushrikeen and those who used to worship the sun, they used to do their acts of worship. So when the sun was in the middle of its rising, or it was in the middle of its setting, or it was directly above a person, or after Asr, meaning it is going towards Maghrib now, in these times the mushrikeen, they would worship the sun. And in order for the Muslims to be different and distinct from the people of Kufr and their worship, we have been prohibited and forbidden from praying in these times. And note that this only applies to nafal mutlaq, meaning a general nafal that somebody wants to pray. But if a person is making qadha of a prayer, or he prays nafal for a specific reason, like he enters the masjid and he wants to pray tahiyyatul masjid, then this does not apply. It's only a general nafal, which is called a nafal al-mutlaq. If a person wants to get up and pray for the sake of Allah, then he should not pray in these times. So what do we benefit from this hadith? Firstly, the 2 days which is not permitted to fast, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. The two types of clothing which are not permitted, And that is for a person to either wrap himself in a single garment which has no holes or no pockets or no spaces for the arms, or for a person to sit with his knees propped up, sit on his backside in a single garment with nothing underneath. And also the two times in which a person is not allowed to pray a nafal al-mutlaq. And also from the benefits of this hadith is how the sharia has come to protect not only the religion of a person, but also the honor and the dunya of a person. For this reason, it gave us guidance even in how we should sit, so our awra is not shown. And the types of clothing we should not wear, so our awra is not exposed. So this blessed sharia, the religion of Islam, it has come to protect the akhirah of a person, and also to protect the honor and the dunya of a person. And then we come to the final hadith in this lesson, and it is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man sama yawman fi sabilillahi ba'ada wajhahu anin nari sab'ina kharifa. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever fasts a single day fi sabilillah whilst he's fighting jihad in the way of Allah. So he fasts, and he's fasting on a day in which he's fighting jihad in the way of Allah. Allah will distance his face from the fire for by 70 years. So this reward of being far away from the fire for 70 years, and the more distance a person is from the fire, the more closer he is to Jannah. Because in the Akhirah, there are only two abodes. It is either Ahlul Jannah, it is either Darul Jannah, the abode of Jannah. We ask Allah to give us the abode of Jannah, or there is Darul Nar, the abode of the fire. The more distant a person is away from the fire, the more close a person is to Al Jannah. The reason why this great reward was specified for a person who fasts while fighting jihad is because fasting, it is an act of worship which you do upon your body. The acts of worship are four different types of worship. You have ibadah qalbiyah. You have an act of worship which is done in the heart. Like for example, does anybody know an example of ibadah qalbiyah? A form of worship which is done in the heart. Sorry? Possibly tadabbur of the Quran. Anything else? Tawakkul. Raja, hope, khawf, fear, mahabba, love, al-ikhlas, sincerity, your niyyah. All of these are acts of worship which are done in the heart. And then there's ibadatun qawliyah, acts of worship which is done upon the tongue, such as recitation of the Quran, dhikr, dua, tasbih, ad-da'wah ila Allah. All of this is done upon the tongue. Wal ibadah al fi'liyah or badaniyah, physical acts of worship which you do upon your body, like as-salah wal-hajj, and also as-siyam. And then finally, al-ibadah al-maliyah, acts of worship which you do with your wealth, like sadaqah and zakah. And some of the acts of worship, they enter into more than one type. So for example, hajj, it is ibadah fi'liyah and maliyah. It is an ibadah which you do on your body because you have to leave and go somewhere, and also you have to spend money. The point is that a person who fasts a day whilst on jihad, number one, he's fasting. And whilst he's fasting, he's doing al-ibadah al-badaniyah, the act of worship which is done upon his body. At the same time, he's fighting jihad, and jihad is ibadah badaniyah maliyah. It is the ibadah which is done upon the body and also by wealth, because it costs for a person to leave the family and go fight jihad in the way of Allah. So because this person, he combines between the ibadah of his body and the ibadah of his wealth, and he's fasting for the sake of Allah on such a difficult day, then for him is this great reward. And no doubt, the person who is able to fast in this type of situation is somebody who has a high level of ibadah, a high level of khawf. He loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this drives him to fast on this day. For this reason, the reward was mentioned, that he is distanced from the fire and is brought closer to Jannah by 70 years. And the only exception to this is, if fasting on this day is going to weaken your jihad, then it is not recommended. But if a person is able to fast and at the same time fight jihad, then it is recommended and the reward it remains. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.